Blog Talk Radio.
Home the Vision Radio. Exposing you to the people, places, and organizations that will help you own your vision of success. Coming to you live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Feeding your mind so we can feed the change that we want to be. And now your host, Jason Warner.
What up, what up, what up, world? It's Jason Warner on the Vision Radio on this Tuesday, March 14th, 2017. Thank you all for being with us, tuning in on another Tuesday as we expose you to the people, organizations, places that will expose you to being able to own your vision of success. We're excited. We have an amazing, amazing show today. Brand, consult, and publish with A. Lanice. Let me tell you about this queen. She's been doing big things since 2004 when she launched her first publication. She's a multimedia publishing, marketing, and sales consultant for consumer goods and the service industry. She's launched multiple magazines, multiple businesses. She's been all over the world. Sometimes I catch her. She's at Fashion Week in Paris. Sometimes she's at Fashion Week in New York. Right now, she's coming all the way from L.A. I'm just excited. I've known her for a while. I can't wait till we come out there to do Give 12 in L.A. because we know A. Lanice is going to help us out. And she's going to drop some huge nuggets, nuggets of knowledge when we go. But today we have the queen, A. Lanice. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm well, thank you.
So how you been? Been a long time. You're on the West Coast now. We're live in Atlanta, but thanks to technology, you're here with us, and we're worldwide.
Yes.
I was checking on the statistics of the folks that are listening to us. We have people in Norway in London listening in. So we've gone global. I feel great.
Yes, I feel great. Definitely.
But we're talking about building the brand, consulting, and publishing. You've been doing this for a while.
Yes, I have. I have been in the business as a business owner as well as an employee for well over 20 years.
Man, you look like you just turned 19. So how you been doing this? You've been doing this since birth, like?
I started it at a very young age. Something as simple as printing the material for my church bulletin. For those who are familiar with the African American church and the importance of the bulletin that came out weekly, I curated the content as well as collected the names from the different departments and auxiliaries and added it to the bulletin each week. And from that, it's morphed into where we are today.
So you were responsible for the sick and shut-in list. I see.
The sick and shut-in list. Yes, to make
Sister
sure that
Jenkins.
Crime rehearsal is down on the list, and to make sure that usher board practice is on Saturday. I did all of that.
So you know the goal of this show is to expose people to different opportunities, to different people, to different businesses and places. And hopefully you'll be able to expose people about building a brand, transitioning to going to consulting and running a publishing company, being published. You're a published author yourself. You know, you have an amazing self-help book. You had your first book, The Little Steps, The Big Bounce Back. You've published magazines. You've helped other people publish.
So let's talk about that.
Let's talk about how even, and I know you said a little bit in started in the church, but talk about a little bit how you got into this as a profession, the publishing arena.
Well, I came into the arena because I had a passion for magazines, news, and media, and there wasn't a lot of content that was geared towards me in the tone and voice that I was interested in. I had a passion for Ebony Magazine, and at that time, among a couple of others, Emerge, Essence, Black Enterprise, Ebony Man, Jet, there weren't a lot of publications outside of that group that could speak to my love and passion for fashion, international culture, tourism. And so I just began to want to explore more of what I like and to really have a place where I could, you know, learn different things in a different way, in a different tone than what I was getting in the general African-American vernacular of the general lifestyle publication. So because of that, I started working, you know, within my school. I started working within my church. I started looking into professions that could really show me how to curate content that would appeal to people who may look like me, but live in a different country, or they may be based in a different place because of the military, which was something that was very popular from the part of the country that I came from, which was the Pacific Northwest. So because of that, I kind of started putting it together and honing my love and passion for publishing.
Awesome, awesome. And shout out to Ebony. You said something about Ebony. They thought so kind to feature me in the October-November issue, 2016
yes.
Men's issue. So we got to give it up for Ebony Magazine. Thank you all.
Ebony Magazine, awesome.
You know, and when people think about publishing, you know, publishing in 2004, publishing in 99 is a lot different in 2017. You know, if you look at publishing newspapers, magazines, books, everything's going digital. So how does somebody survive if they say, I have some great content? What do you suggest for them to do as they're pushing their content out? What would be that first step? I mean, you know, there's some people that like to pick up that magazine, that book, that newspaper. But as the trends go digital, what do you suggest people do now to stay ahead of the curve?
I think that whether it's print or whether it's digital, the publishing landscape has not changed much. But what has came to the forefront now more than ever is that you have to solve a problem or provide a solution. Gone are the days where we were segmented in the different parts of the world, even in different parts of our state and community, where we didn't, uptown does not know what downtown does. And vice versa. London did not know what we did here in Los Angeles, you know, a part of America. Now things have changed where everyone can see and touch and experience and learn about each other in real time. And so if you do not have a message, if you do not have a product, if you do not have a service that can either provide a relief or feed a passion, you won't make it. Now, publishing has put it more in the forefront than other sectors, and that's because, you know, you see content here, and it can be instantaneously in your hand from the time that it happens to your Twitter feed in 3 seconds. We see it with the President of the United States. Whatever is on his mind, he can communicate it to almost 6 billion people in the world in just 140 characters in a split-second thought. So now it's very important. If people want to enter the publishing arena, or if they want to aspire to write a book, or even if they want to sell a pair of socks, to really be able to understand why they're doing what they're doing, and then figure out how does it provide a solution, or how does it answer a question, how does it solve a problem in order to be able to sell efficiently.
Awesome, awesome. You know, we talk about owning that vision of success, and we want people to be successful in any venture that they're stepping into. And a lot of people have things to say. People say, you know, I want to start a blog. I want to write a book. I want to create my own magazine to speak to my group of people. Tell us about how the length of time, I guess that hurry up and wait game. Is there a hurry up and wait game? Or in today's digital society, can you go from I got One Piece today to 1 million followers tomorrow. What does that look like, the reel of it? Because you've been in this for
yes.
a while.
Yes, I think it is a combination of both. I think that when it comes to vision and when it comes to creating an idea, I'm a person that believes that you should seize the moment. However, when it comes to the marketplace, sometimes it takes time to develop. I tell people all the time, particularly the clients that I work with, is that you want to make sure that what you're saying is one, what people are talking about, two, what people are interested in, and three, what people will continue to come back to. A lot of people have a whole lot of things to say and really nothing to talk about. And so you, a lot of times when I'm dealing with clients that produce books in particular, they have this burning desire to want to share their ideas and opinions and thoughts into the world. But however, they don't have an audience that really wants to receive and listen to what it is that they have to say. And so I like to tell my clients first to make sure that you go out and you do your research. You find out what people are looking for. And this translates over into retail products and services. If you're doing a nonprofit, you make sure that whatever you're doing is on the pulse and the hands of people. And once you find out what's on the pulse of people, what they're passionate about, what's on their mind, what inspires them, then that's your opportunity to capitalize on that moment and come with ideas and information that will feed what's in the pulse of the people. Two examples that I can give you of that is one that's related to me personally, and one that's going on in the marketplace nowadays.
Before you give these two examples, I have to give some information to folks. So if you're listening online and you're gonna have, if you have questions, you can call us at 646-787-1768. That's 646-787-1768. Press the number 1 if you have a question. Because we're talking about brands, building a brand. We're talking about consulting because some people want to be consultants in all types of realms. And a lot of people have a lot to say, a lot to give to the world, and they want to be a published author. They want to create their blog. They want to create their magazine. So if you want to get into this dialogue, you want to connect with Ayla Neese and own your vision of success in this field, 646-787-1768. If you get on the phone and you want to ask a question, press the number 1. Back to the two examples.
Okay, so when I started my magazine back in 2004, there wasn't an African American president. There was no such thing as Barack Obama. How we viewed the African American community nationwide and globally was within the confines of a few magazine publications, a few television shows that had appeared over the years, and celebrities that we saw on the red carpet. So when I came with the vision to start Couture Magazine, and to start it within the luxury market for those who have a passion for luxury goods, it was something that was new. It was something that was unheard of. But it was also something that was out of the realm of understanding for the everyday local African-American market. They could not find a lot of the goods and services that we featured in the magazine in their individual state. For example, I had a magazine that had reached 198,000 subscribers. My number one set of subscribers were based in Columbus, Ohio. Ohio as a whole, specifically Columbus, Ohio. Yes, to be a magazine that was out of Los Angeles. My second group of subscribers that had the largest amount was in Russia, Moscow, Russia. For my international market, followed by Canada, followed by Rio in Brazil. And so at this point, I had to really take a look at what I was doing and how I was going to formulate my strategy. Blogs were not where they were. Social media was just getting started with Facebook. Google had just entered the marketplace in 2000, and again, there was no African American president. So what I had to do was I had to come up with a strategy that I could hit that market that was in Ohio, that really was the bread and butter of our company, but still feed the needs of the international market that also gave us the additional padding. So that's one example that I would give to people, whether they're looking to sell a product or service. You have to make sure that you're not so innovative that you're outside of the realm of an understanding of the current marketplace, but you don't want to be mainstream or late adapting where you're not able to be innovative in your product and services and people begin to follow you. I'm very proud to say that when President Obama came into office and they started putting African American women more on the cover of magazines and in beautiful gowns, people can reach back and say, oh, I saw this in couture. Oh, I saw this person interviewed in couture. You know, the mayor of Washington, D.C., him and his wife at the time that hosted President Obama. They were a part of the Couture Magazine family. Cory Booker was a part of the Couture Magazine family. And so many more who started with me when this idea was just beyond understanding. And now you have African American magazines and blogs and social media sites everywhere. However, go ahead.
So I'm going to get back to your next thing, but you've touched on this piece, and it goes into brand and building that brand. Mm-hmm. You talked about creating an audience. Many people know that I have three books in the hopper, and what I started to do is just give out free content on social media. Literally just started to build that audience first. What would you tell a person that's trying to go into that to build a brand, because we're talking about brand consulting and publishing, and you harp on that, solving a problem, and building a following so that you can give whatever that product is to that audience.
Yes, it is absolutely vital, whether you're doing publishing, whether you're doing consulting, whether you're selling a product, that you have to introduce yourself to the market before you introduce your product to the market. Now, let me be very clear when I say introduce yourself to the market. That does not mean selfies and showing your exotic trips. If that does not support the product and service that you're selling or the book that you're trying to introduce to the market. Now, if I say that I am a tour guru and I can show you all of the best exotic places in the world, if I could say that I'm going to have a foodie blog, if I am a photographer, then absolutely. But if I'm saying that I have a nonprofit organization that helps small children with Down syndrome, and 90% of my online content is geared towards me and my girlfriend taking a trip to Dubai, it doesn't support what I'm selling. And so it does not give the market a proper introduction to you. And what it does is that it begins to create a dysfunctional brand. And it's a brand that will not be able to sustain itself. If you say that you're a singer and I see more fashion photos of you than I hear videos of you online singing or Facebook Live, or you just sending out flyers to local places that you're performing, it's sending a brand confusing message. If I am saying that I am a consultant, but you go to my social media channels or you go to my blog and you see pictures of my dog or food that I ate for dinner, but you don't see anything that shows me providing information or answering questions or just giving social commentary, how do they know that I can adequately consult them in things that are important? Why would they pay me? And so what I like to tell people is that when you enter the market early,
before you present a product and service for people to purchase and consume, is that you want to make sure that when you're speaking to them, you're speaking to them ahead of time with authority, with clarity and understanding of the market, as well as being able to provide answers to questions that they might not even know that they have. And if you're able to do that, then they'll be able to come back to you.
So basically, you're supposed to give a little upfront, give a little piece of what you do, and be that brand, be that face. You know, I think when I was starting on my journey and different things, you told me, a couple other people told me, like, hey, we love your kids and everything, but that's not what everybody needs to see. So
yes.
I throw
and
them
I
in there every now
always,
and then. I throw them in
you
there every now and then.
Because
but,
that, yeah, you definitely want to mix them in. So this will stay in my thought. I like to tell people, you want to tell people a lot about what you are about so that they will purchase who you are. So when they see, for example, let's take you, Jason, they see Jason the Family Man mixed with your philanthropic efforts, mixed with the information that you're providing through your show, mixed through your organization that they, you know, will invest and partner in, they're able to see a lot about you, the values of your company, your ethics and integrity as a person, and they're able to buy in. Anybody want to go inside of a restaurant that has raggedy signage outside or tore up menus or chairs? No, you don't. You will never taste the food because you can't get past the signage in the storefront. And so that's what people have to understand when they're branding themselves. And before they enter the marketplace with a product or service, you have to make sure that you people know everything about what you're about. Unfortunately, with the president of the United States, and we respect him as well as his office, he was able to show people very early, over a consecutive set of time, what he was about. So what sometimes gets mixed in with his message and what he's trying to now tell us who he is as a person, his agenda, and all those other things, you're missing it because when you saw what he was all about, you were turned off. But with our former president, President Barack Obama, you got to see what he was about, how he treated people, how he engaged with the world, his thoughts and his ideas. And so when you, his family values, and when you saw what he was all about, it was so much easier to buy into him and learn who he is. So I say that when you go into the marketplace, you want to make sure that you give enough content. And you show enough photographs, and you do enough volunteering and canvassing and engagement with your audience ahead of time so that they can have a confidence in what you're about. So that then when you introduce something to them and you say, here's my book, here's my product, here's my service, they're not confused, they're not intimidated by it, they're not unsure, they're ready to learn about who you are as a person or as a product or as a service because you've given them, you know, everything that you're about.
So right before, we're about to take a little break, and I'm going to come back with a quick question about your transition because, you know, we talk about branding, consulting, and publishing. You started off in publishing magazines, and you're, you're focusing a lot more on helping people build brands, that consulting side of things. And you're still writing, you're writing books and different things like that. But after the break, I want to talk about how you thought to try to navigate to that space. Was it a situation where you saw the writing on the wall, you need to reinvent yourself, or is this an opportunity to grow in areas that you've already been working on? But we're going to drop. We're going to come right back after the break. What we're going to be doing moving forward in the future, on future shows, going to do some free advertising for some businesses doing great things in our communities all across the country. 2 weeks ago, we had the Lady of the Law, and I asked Charlene to send us some information about her law firm. So if you're in Florida and you need a great attorney, listen up. We'll be right back after the break.
I'm Charlene Pinkney.
And I'm Laverne Pinkney of the Pinkney Law Firm.
We're a local, family-owned, full-service law firm owned and operated by mother and daughter.
We have more than 38 years of combined legal experience.
Our firm handles many cases including divorce, child support, dependency, school discipline, and special education, serving Dade and Broward County.
We are known for our family-friendly service. Call us now at 954-362-5409. That's 954-362-5409. Or go to PinkneyLawFirm.com.
And we're back. That was real quick. We're going to ask for more folks to send in advertisements because we want to tell your story. It's about exposing people. We can't talk about buying black, building black, growing black, building this infrastructure if we don't know what's out there. You know, who knew that there was so many people or anyone doing high fashion magazines in our community? Because if you looked at the Couture magazine, the pictures just weren't of us, but you own the magazine. So it's about being able to expose people to the great opportunities. So right before the break, we talked about transitioning and what you do from a consultant standpoint and helping other people build brands. Well, you're still publishing, you're still writing books, but talk about that transition and what made you pivot there.
I think that there was a combination of things that took place that made me transition into a different marketplace. I don't believe that people experience any type of setback that causes them to change course. I think that the opportunity in the landscape changes and it presents you an opportunity to pivot. I'm coming out with a new book in fall of this year called It's Time to Pivot. After I had experienced a series of haunting situations in my personal life, I was presented with a new opportunity and I could stay where I was and I could be successful within a certain realm, or else I could pivot to something greater. And what I feel like what happens in most people's lives is they say, well, I have presented with struggle, I've been presented with stress, I've been presented with setbacks, something that has caused me to go inward and to seek a place or a new voice. I don't necessarily think that that's the case. I think that you've just been changed in a different direction is a better use of words, to see things from a different perspective or within a broader life. And so as the market began to change in the publishing industry, our president came on as the president of the United States, and we had the opportunity to grow. I also was experiencing changes in my personal life. And with those changes in my personal life, it showed me that, this is a great opportunity to pivot in a different direction. So I would tell people, look at what's going on,
We're losing you just a little bit.
Still hear me?
Yeah, you're just breaking up. I don't know if we have a bad connection or what's going on. I guess it's that three-hour time difference.
Is it better?
Yeah.
Okay. So I tell people that, you know, there's things that will happen in your personal life and there's things that will happen in the world around you. However, look at it in the larger landscape and see how it can pivot you in a better direction.
Awesome, awesome. So let's go on into kind of into that branding and consulting. So what does your company do to help organizations build that brand as a consultant? And, you know, if someone wanted to get into consulting, what are some things that you would tell them to do?
Well, our company provides, Nacional Media, provides a myriad of services. One, we help companies with the branding and development of their personal brand, their mission,
their focus, their tone, their voice, how they're going to interact with the marketplace. We help them define their product and define their service. A lot of people have a product, a lot of people have a service, but they don't have anyone to buy, consume, or engage. So we have real conversations with our clients. If you want to write a book, we're going to have a real conversation with you. What is the book about? Why are you writing it? What is the market for it? How is it going to be profitable? Whether you are a nonprofit, whether you are a consultant, whether you are a writer or a brand, you have to sell. And the focus of our company is to make sure that you sell and you sell very well. In regards to becoming a consultant, it's a little bit different. Everyone can give advice to someone else. And sometimes they view consulting as a free medium to give advice and suggestions and feedback to other people. However, what I tell people is if they want to become a consultant, tell me and be able to find an audience that you have an authority on. There's a few things in my life personally and professionally that I know really well. Magazines are one of them. Retail is another one. Travel is another one. Politics is another. And so when I talk about those subjects, and anyone who knows me personally, my voice will raise. I will become very animated and excited. I can follow it all day long. And so when I engage people about it, particularly clients in that genre, I know that I can confidently lead them to greatness because I have an authority and an understanding on that subject. If you're going to be a consultant, and really let me tell you something, when you have a product or a service that you're selling, you're being a consultant. You may not think that you are, but you're being a consultant. You're not maybe the Macy's girl that's standing there with a fragrance and telling you which one is better, and she's a consultant, but you may have a nonprofit that helps women with domestic violence. How are you an authority on that subject? What statistics do you know? What answers can you give these people to turn their lives around? So you're a consultant on every level of business and service that's in the marketplace today, but you have to be an authority on the subject. And also, if you're going to be a consultant, you have to be able to lead in great times, but you have to be able to lead even greater in bad times. And so if a company is consistently failing, if a company is consistently not hitting their numbers, if a person has a book that is just awful and it just does not look like it's going to sail, you have to be able to pivot that person in the right direction to win. And that's a couple of signs to know that you would be a really good consultant.
Awesome, awesome. If you're listening online, we have Ayla Neese, the Brand Consult Publish. Own your visions of success with Ayla Neese. If you're listening online and you want to call in and ask questions, it's 646-787-1768. That's 646-787-1768. If you have a question, press the number 1 so that we'll know that you have a question. It's almost like raising your hand in class, but it gives me a cue to say, hey, I have a question. I'm not just listening in. Because I don't want you just to be sitting there. I don't know if you have a question because I can't see you. You're from all over the world. But we want to engage and expose you to some amazing things. You touched on some great things when you're talking about being consistent, owning and knowing your content. One of the things I see all the time, people saying they want to start their own business and they're jumping out because they're great at baking cakes or mm-hmm. they're great at putting together outfits, but mm-hmm. that doesn't correlate to a business. So when you're working with folks, how do you help them understand the business of that business? Because it's the difference between I can bake great mm-hmm. cakes and they taste really good, but mm-hmm. understanding the mm-hmm. business that you're not charging, mm-hmm. you know, twice as much mm-hmm. as the area grocery store for that same cake, but you say, oh, well, mm-hmm. I put the time into it. Well, at the end of the day, the market controls price. So I'm not going to spend $60 on a $20 cake. So what types of things do you tell people that are building that business when and to understand the business of the business?
The first thing I always tell people to do is if you're going to go into any form of business, whether it's entrepreneurship or partnership, you have to know the numbers before you think of any idea of what it is that you want to do. So if I wanted to open up a clothing store or have my own boutique or brand, I need to know the numbers of retail. How does retail math work? How do they calculate tax? How does the buying decision take place? If I'm going to print a book and I'm going to sell a book, I need to understand how are books created? What's the cost that goes into creating a quality book versus a book that is something made out of the back door of someone's shed? Or a t-shirt company, or anything that you want to do, you have to understand the numbers. Because when you have a real understanding of the numbers, that realistically puts in perspective what it will take to operate and run a business. I had a particular client at one point in my career that used to create hand-blown glass and had beautiful pieces of hand-blown glass. And we had the opportunity for the glass to be featured in a different country in a hotel that was being built. And I had came to him and I had let him know that the glass had wanted to be purchased on a large level by a major company, and they wanted to put it in three or four of their hotels off in India. And I asked him, I said, should we go ahead and negotiate this? Now, I didn't ask him because I wasn't sure. I'm a consultant. But I asked him because I wanted to see if he had an understanding of where he was in the marketplace. And he hit it on the head. He was like, how can I do it? If I put all of my money into this opportunity, which is a huge opportunity, I'll be able to miss the consistent flow of building my company. And so he understood what it would take to produce those amount of products. He understood customs and getting things overseas. He understood the travel that he would have to partake in to be able to get those things installed in that country. He understood his family obligation. There were so many things that were involved. And so I tell people, you know, before you start any type of business, you make sure that you, one, know the numbers, and you, two, know the marketplace. I have never seen a time where we live in such a narcissistic culture where people want to start companies for their own self-identity, for their own self-grandizement. And so I want to be able to say that I'm an entrepreneur. I want people to see my face over everything that has to do with my product. I want to be in every magazine to say that I started this and I'm great. I wrote a book and I have my face plastered on the front cover of the book or my name all over the pages of the book. That's self-gratification, but it doesn't sell to the marketplace. And so what you want to make sure is that you have a market that wants to purchase that book so that it doesn't stack up to the ceiling and it doesn't reach anyone. But you can have someone like Rich Dad Poor Dad or Dale Carnegie who have wrote some classics that will stand the test of time, that will be republished, Chicken Soup for the Soul, you know, books that have changed the total landscape of reading, that even though we go into digital and we have print and we have blogs, these are books that will stand with us forever because they were able to meet the need of the marketplace.
You know, and that's such a critical point. We talk to businesses and people that want to start businesses, and as many of you know, we see change in our community. We raise funds, we give it out to nonprofit organizations, to entrepreneurs. We're excited about the Give 12 project that is launching here in Atlanta, going to 11 other cities, where we'll be seeding 9 nonprofit organizations $100,000 each and seeding 12 entrepreneurs $25,000 each. But we just don't want these entrepreneurs to stay here. I have $25,000, but we want to give them the knowledge and the resources. You know, so often you see people saying, I don't want to support black businesses because they cost, they charge too much. And then that black business gets upset and says, well, you don't ask for a bargain at this store for the Gucci or the for the Prada. Well, guess what? You're not Gucci or Prada. You have to understand your market. You you have to understand the supply chain and the logistics. I'm not going to pay $75 for the same T-shirt, the same T-shirt that I can pay for $25. But if you're paying retail rates for your shirt before it gets designed, and then you have to pay for shipping and what have you, so the goal is for when people get into business, whether it's publishing, if it's selling T-shirts, if it's selling cars or what have you, understand that business. Understand the business of that business, which is so important.
Well, can I actually add to your thought? Yeah, let me add to that thought, because you made a fantastic point there, and I try to tell people to really put their thinking caps on, because I can completely relate. I've been here in California, and, you know, from the time there was a little bit of stint, as you know, from our relationship that I was in the South. And from being in the South, you know, you can get soul food on every corner. You know, African-American soul food is just an industry of its own in Atlanta. Here to Los Angeles, you can maybe pay double to triple the rate in Los Angeles to get the same soul food that you get down there, maybe out on the backside of a truck or a little hut, you know, on the corner. And so what I like to tell people is that perspective is that the marketplace and the landscape is different, which affords them to be able to make adjustments where they are to fit that brand. That's one. But two, people get in the way of their own brand being successful. And that's one of the reasons why there's such a disconnect. And going back to what I stated earlier, you have gave brand confusion to the consumer that you want to purchase. So what makes Gucci and what makes Ferragamo and what makes Mueller so successful as brands is that they're able to be featured in Harris. They're able to be featured in Sethfield, in Barney's, in Berdoff Goodman, in Saks, as well as have their individual store. And so they have an understanding that if no one walks into Madison Avenue and purchases off of the Madison Avenue store, that they have a collective of retailers that they can source their product to. And so they're able to make up the difference in their pricing and in their sales. What we do sometimes within the minority community in particular is that we put so much money into the creation of our product. Even if it's a nonprofit, we don't even have to always be a retail product, but we want to get a building, and we want to have the furniture, and we want to have a staff of 24, and we want to have T-shirts made, and then we spend $100,000 on flyers and markers and pencils and pens, and we go, I'm branding myself. And then now with social media, we follow up with millions of pictures of ourselves and what we look like in our stuff, and then we go and pay celebrities to endorse our stuff. We put so much money and image and being image conscious and being validated based off of our image that we don't put a lot of money into creating diversified streams of income to be able to generate more capital into our business. And so that's what I would suggest for a lot of people to do, to get out of the way of their brand, spend more time and effort putting money into getting that product or that service across as much of the landscape as possible, so that when it's time for people to engage, they won't say, oh, well, I could go get it from this place versus that place. It will still make sense within its market category, and you won't have to feel like you have to spend as much to cover the cost of your initial investment.
And I think part of that, too, is knowing where you are in the market. You know, it takes time for brands to grow. I remember sitting at a conference a few years back, and I was actually sitting next to Steve Case, and I talked about this a few weeks ago. At the time, I didn't know it was Steve Case, and for those who don't know who Steve Case, he's the co-founder of AOL. I'm literally sitting at the table right next to him. At the time, he had a full beard. All pictures I've seen of him, he is cleanly shaven. And, you know, we're just talking. I was talking at the time. I had a tech startup. So we were talking about things, and he was just nodding his head. He was just like, keep pressing forward, keep pressing forward. Didn't know who he was. He was just like, my name is Steve. That's it. Okay. Fast forward 30 minutes later, Steve Case is the presenter. Even in the program, it was a cleanly shaven Steve Case. So I'm literally sitting next to, at the time, $2 point something billion of net worth. When AOL was when AOL was at its prime, he was worth somewhere around $12 billion. But what he told us that AOL was the 10-year overnight success. It took 10 years before anyone knew about AOL. I think so many people, when they're building their brand or trying to build their brand, they try to compare themselves to what's already out there. And we look at someone's chapter 25, and we're starting at chapter 1. It takes steps.
Right.
When we were building the Olden Division Foundation, this, you know, the Ebony Magazine, the Huffington Post, the different things that are going on in 2017, it was all quiet in 2014 and 15 and 13 when we were laying the framework to this. So I would tell folks that are listening is be patient in the process. Your chapter 25 is not the same as someone's chapter 1 or somebody or you trying to look at where they are and what they charge for their goods and services. They, the market may not know you yet. Let the market know you. You have to give
to
a little.
Financially.
And it goes back,
It
goes back to sowing that seed. If you're going to plant that seed in the ground, it takes a little time for that tree to grow. But it will grow if you water it, if you nurture it, if you want to grow. And we believe in planting seeds. And so I'm so glad that you're on with us so you can put some seeds and nuggets of knowledge. The folks that are listening, they may get this today, but to get to where they want to be, it may be 2 or 3 years from now, and then they'll look back onto this conversation, this radio show, and like, you know what? I planted that seed in 2017, and I'm living my dream or starting to live in my dream in 2020. It may happen at the end of 2017, but walk at your own pace. As we talk about walking
and let me
in
piggyback
on what,
can I piggyback?
We're
can I
take,
piggyback on what
yes,
you're saying?
You will as soon as we come back because we like to Amar the Great, 17-year-old, just turned 18. He's a hip hop artist out of Atlanta, young guy, amazing talent. I play his song, been playing his song since we first started. Pledge Allegiance to My People. The young man doesn't curse. If you YouTube Amari the Great, like, the kid is a genius. The kid, I will put him next to any of the greatest rappers of the time. No doubt. If you don't believe me, money back guarantee. It's free anyway. But YouTube Amari the Great, and we're going to give you I Pledge Allegiance to My People. And then we're going to come back and you get all your piggybacks and give us some more because we're on the Only Vision Radio Show with Ayla Neese. Brand consult and publish.
One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. The black of the very sweet is the truth. What a concoction of greatness was graded out of this food. Created doctrines of hatred until we fight to break loose. Physically hanging, now our mentality's inside a noose. Black history books I read, intrigued as I'm turning chapters. Of QEP and my spirit animals, my Black Panthers. Rap for my people, go against us and you press my buttons. On the front line at 17 with choppers, Bobby Hutton. I tell my people stand up when people looking down to us. Downtown ATL protesting those cops were surrounding us. I look around and slowly you get this smile on my face. I'm just the only one for my people, cause I love my race. And we can't be replaced, never, cause we mean too much. Fuck the freedom on them plantations like we dream too much. Appreciative of my black elders, man, they seem too much. My generation's next, give them something to believe through us. One nation under the Most High. segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song, cry for my melanated people. Put your hands in the sky. You can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Feel like MLK in this society's bias. I'm not okay with this. We're patient, yeah. Heartless and bias, they chilling, breaking us. They choose to give us people like our Oprahs and Harveys, but they refuse to give us our Angela Davis and Garvey. Royalties in our core, naturally we are pure. All praise to Dr. Davey, I praise Asada Shakur. Biopics on our people, they displaying it now. Showing that greatness, black and proud, the shames of saying it loud. I'm about making sure our people are respected. From Carver and his penis to DJ Walker's cosmetics. Remember movements like the SCLC, even the Freedom Riders. Now I'm on Phyllis Wheatley with it, cause I'm a Freedom Rider. So best to be a part of a culture and even heritage. His riches mine, though they try, there's no use neglecting it. But thought I was a king, there's no need for me to be selling it. Who would've thought the power I possessed was in this melanin? God. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is a song cry for my melanated people. Put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Growing up, I was intrigued by my color, and I appreciated it. Would never hate on my brother. Pro-black, not anti-white is what my pops always said. I had a balance between being MLK and being Detroit Red. Looked up so many who for my freedom had let bloodshed, and prayed I'd be the next black hope before going to bed. No Black History Month because it doesn't need titles. Don't need a month to acknowledge William Dubois as my idol. It hurts me to see us blind, hurts me to see us suffer from a system that's in place by throwing shade at each other. When Martin had a dream and Huey had to pump cop, when Malcolm was in that window that Turner let blood drop, when Sandra had made that video, when Philando was registered, St. Mills in that rec center hunted down like a predator. Obama got in office, got elected right back. These are moments that let me remember this power in black. Yeah. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry for my melanated people. Put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Yeah. Indefinitely empowered, temporarily exiled, were my people. Long said to be outcasted and outlasted, nonetheless, they are my people. Surely no sequel, brought into a situation saying we not equal. Treated like dogs, but we're whipped for barking. Finally we barked and barked until eventually that bark came with a bite. Symbolized a spark, but no longer, now it's a light golden. Pledge allegiance to us. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry for my melanated people. Put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Yeah.
And we're back. That was Omari the Great. Omari the Great. Look him up. Check him on YouTube, on SoundCloud, on in your iTunes store. The young man is amazing. We're back with Ayla Neese, the brand consult publish, owning your vision of success, and she's dropping some nuggets, some jewels for us all. But before we go back to her to her next comment, let me tell you about the Give 12 Project and what we're doing at the Own the Vision Foundation. You know, we got tired of waiting on people, the powers that be, to fix our situation in our community. So we came up with the idea how we can do it ourselves, how together we can seed the change we want to see. So the Give 12 Project is going to come to 12 cities around this country. We may hit 15. We never know in the next 12 months. But Give 12 is where 12,000 people in a city donate $12 a month for the next 12 months. Did you know the average American spends $15 a day on lunch? $15 a day on lunch. So we're asking 12,000 people in your city to donate $12 per month, not per day, but per month. We'll take that money and seed 9 nonprofit organizations, $100,000 each, organizations that have been doing great work in your community. But they're going to tell you exactly what they're doing with this $100,000 seed. So if they were working with young people, they can work with more young people. If they were helping people to get into home ownership in our community, they can help more. If they were getting young men and women out of prison and getting their life on track, they can help more. If they're exposing people to STEM, to other job opportunities, to other career paths, they can help more. But we're not going to stop there. We're also seeding 12 entrepreneurs, $25,000 each. That's $25,000 each. But not just $25,000. We're going to align them with a marketing and PR consultant, an operational and logistics consultant, a financial consultant, and a legal consultant for the first month of that seed to make sure that they're not only growing businesses, but thriving businesses. And you just pitch in your own category. Those three categories. If you have an idea, you pitch in the idea group. That means you don't have to have an LLC, an S-Corp, a partnership, what have you. All you have to have is an idea and can clearly articulate that idea. Four people in that group in each city will receive $25,000. Four people in the startup group. That's 0 to 5 years. You've incorporated, you've had a product launch, you've had what have you, but you're in that startup phase. You'll pitch in that category. Four people in that group in each city will receive $25,000. So four people in Atlanta, four people in New York, four people in Miami, four people in Charlotte, four people in Oakland, and on and so forth. And then four people in the existing established business, 5 years or more, will receive $25,000 because we want to level the playing field and bridge the equity gap. So if you want to find out more about the Give 12 Project and when it's coming to your city, visit www.give12today.com. That's G-I-V, the number 12, today.com, www.give12today.com. You can also visit the Own the Vision website link for more of the things that we're doing across this country. Give 12 is just city specific. Only takes 12,000 people in your city to see change in 12 months. Give12today.com. So we're back with A. Lanise talking about building a brand, consulting, and publishing. So as we get back into it and we're building brands and we're talking about navigating through these waters of starting a business, writing a book, talk to me. You know, some people want to write a book, and I've thought about it. I've talked to some folks. It's publishing company or self-publishing company? What do you think? Pros and cons?
I think that everyone has the ability to self-publish. I think that it's a very easy route versus the traditional model where you go to a publishing house, some of the larger ones, and you send them your manuscript, and in exchange for giving up a lot of rights that you may have as a self-published author, you get their connections, their network, their PR base, their funding to really brand and promote you and your book. However, for those who want to keep their individuality and not have a lot of corrections and changes made to the nuances of their story, self-publishing is the way to go. What I will tell people, because we do offer publishing services within Nasadon Media, is that you still need to have a publishing consultant, even if you want to self-publish. We are a non-traditional publishing firm. What we do is we have the ability to take your idea, your manuscript,
it and give it a proper review. We'll tell it where it fits in on the publishing landscape. We will give you the pros and cons of how it's written and what would be the best way to help it fail. And we walk you through the process of getting it designed and printed and prepared for you to take it into the marketplace. If you're a person that does not have a lot of cash, or you do not have a large ability to market yourself, or great ability to market yourself, you may want to consider a publishing house that does all of it for you in exchange for giving up some rights and royalties, or doing it with a publishing consultant like ourselves that can a la carte and partner with you and take over the things that you may not be as strong in and let you handle the things that you are, you know, strong in. What I will tell you, though,
You know, I've asked these questions, and you know, some folks told me if you have multiple books or things that you're going to publish, it may, if you don't have a brand already established, it's good with that first book to go with a publishing house, because they can market you, they can put your name out there, you can get on those bestseller lists and different things like that because they put the resources behind it, but then you use those next two books and the momentum, or the next few books, the momentum from that first book where you actually didn't bring in that much money because the publishing house took all the return, but that is your marketing strategy, and then come in and self-publish your future books. What do you think? What do you say to that?
What I will say is that if you're going to publish multiple titles, do not get caught up in creating multiple titles. I believe that you can create manuscripts and ideas, storyboards, vision boards. However, you don't know how well your tone and voice fits in the marketplace, and that's what a publisher does for you with the initial book. Even with our publishing company, which is non-traditional, we're able to kind of pivot you and curate you and help you create the proper tone and voice that's sellable. I've had clients come to me and say, I have five books already done. Pick the one that you want to take to the landscape first. And I tell them that that's awesome, that's great, but you don't know how you're going to fail. Your information may be good, but you as an author may have to change a little bit. So, for example, I tell people that when you're going to a job interview or you're preparing for a new job, you usually tailor your resume to what that job is looking for. So if they're looking for someone that's stronger in leadership, someone that's stronger in operations, someone that's stronger in financials, you may be able to cover all of that, but you're going to create that resume to fit that particular employer that you're going to go to for a job. And so that's what the first book does, and going with a publishing consultant or a full-fledged publisher, that's what they do. They may tell you your graphics are horrible. They may tell you no one wants to hear your story. Or they may say everyone would want to hear that story. They're able to help tailor and guide you. And then you're able to give your input more with a indie publisher or non-traditional publisher like ourselves, versus going with a full firm who can absolutely put you out in the forefront of many people. But you have to be prepared for that.
And I guess it goes back to what we talked about earlier, building that brand, understanding that brand, and building that brand up front. If you don't have a brand, if there's you don't have a following, I talked about this. I spoke at a nonprofit, an organization that wants to help people build nonprofits. And, you know, one of the three things I said to the audience is, for a successful nonprofit, you have to solve a problem, you have to have a following, and you have to have a profit center. All of that, you talked about solving a problem. The second part is that following, or building that brand. If no one knows you, if no one knows anything about your product or service, they don't have that trust to say, you know what, I'm going to try this out. Unless you have a boatload of cash and that you can and put in a whole lot of marketing, you know, you have to build your brand. You have to let people know who you are.
And you have to understand the difference between branding and marketing. I have to let people know the difference. Because anybody can get a following. Nowadays, you can purchase it, or you can put up a whole type of pictures that are
controversial.
There's a lot of ways that you can get a following. But there takes a special form of engagement to begin to have followers that will invest in what it is that you're offering or selling. And so what I tell people all the time is don't.
Talk to us. What is the difference between branding and marketing, in your I guess, expert opinion?
Yes, and it's different for different landscapes. But in the market of retail, which is anything that you're selling, branding is to introduce people to who you are. They get to see you. They get a feel of your style and your presence. But marketing is putting out your services and getting them to engage and interact and interact feedback and information that you can use to tailor and curate to what it is that they want. And as a result, it creates a purchase decision or a buy-in. So we can take it from two perspectives, whether you're a nonprofit or whether you're a for-profit business, whether it be consulting, writing, owning a store. If I just want to put up a sign that says, my name is Elanice Couture Boutique, and I'm coming, and I put my face all over social media and billboards, I'm branding myself. But if I send out a coupon that says, for the first 50 people that come inside of my store and spend $20, they're going to walk away with a free handbag, now I'm marketing. Because I'm engaging and I'm looking for feedback, I'm testing the market. Marketplace for receptivity, and I'm going to see off of that information that's given what I need to do to pivot that word again, my company in the right direction. People don't want to get caught up nowadays in too much branding. That is a very dangerous thing, because what branding does sometimes is create intellectual optical illusion. What that does is that you put in your mind that I have 60,000 followers, I must have 60,000 purchasers. And what you find out is that once it's time for you to start selling that book or promote your service or getting people to donate to your nonprofit, that number is going to shrink from 60,000 to maybe 60. Maybe 600, but I'm going to put it more at 60, because you've really only engaged 60 people. But the intellectual optical illusion has been that so many people like me. I have 500 likes, and so many people are following my page, and I have so many views, but you've only been branding. So it would be very important to people that they differentiate the two and make sure that before they put a good product and service out there to market and put a lot of money behind it, that they make sure that they have that engagement, they have that understanding. And that's why it goes back to what I just said a moment ago. Before you put out five books, don't worry about five titles. Just let's start with the one. Let's make sure that you have the buy-in of the one. The Purpose Driven Life, which was a fantastic book, sold for years as his only book. No one has really even talked about the other books that came later. They rode the horse of that book forever because that one book was able to hit the pulse of the people. So I would suggest that you differentiate the two. Also, let me quickly add, is that you make sure that you put a lot of time into toiling and peeling what it is that grows from your seed. A lot of times we want to plant a lot of seed in the ground. However, we don't know how to manage the harvest. And so what happens is that when we begin to see the harvest in our businesses, whether it's more likes, whether it's more views, maybe it's more publicity in media, we have to know that you have to continue to go back and heal that ground to make sure that it's prepared for that seed to really grow. And that's where the marketing part comes in. You have to talk to the people that you engage with. You have to really listen to what's going on in the marketplace. You have to try the new things that are being suggested. Be innovative in your thinking. That's the way that you're tilling the seed that you have to offer the marketplace and to make sure that that seed grows into something that's viable and sustainable.
Well, that's awesome, you know, and it segues into a book that I've read, and I suggest anyone that wants to go into business or anyone that wants to do anything for them is The One Thing by Gary Keller. And in that book, he talks about, very similar to what you're talking about, is focusing on that one thing. I know a lot of times we get that old adage, don't put all your eggs in one basket. But the myth of multitasking is that a myth. You can't do multiple things successfully at the same time. Mm-hmm. And what Gary talks about in The One Thing is great organizations, the most successful people and organizations focus on that one thing. If you look at Microsoft, they focused and they expanded, but Bill Gates focused only on that Windows. He didn't say, you know what, we're going to do computers and we're going to do printers. It was the software, and he's the wealthiest man in the world because of that Windows software that he created. Mm-hmm. And it branched out, but people know Microsoft for the Windows. Apple,
mm-hmm.
Steve Jobs talked about and focused on being the brand of being creative. So technically, there's not really a big difference between a Apple computer and a PC. But
absolutely
people are connected
not
to that brand and what that mm-hmm. one thing he created. He created a culture around creativity mm-hmm. and daring to be different. So people stand in line for the new iPhone, the new iPad, anything that comes from that brand. He focused on the one thing. Even when he was pushed out as CEO of the company he started, it became successful because he focused on that one thing. He never steered off of that path. So for you all that are listening, focus on that thing. Hone that skill. I even have to tell myself when I'm looking on my success path, and I see the end of the line, but you see exits, and it may be $10,000 in this exit. There may be a trip around the world on that exit. You got to come back. Mm-hmm. If you're traveling from Miami to New York, and if you get off the exit and start heading west, guess what? You're not going to go to New York. You got to come right back mm-hmm. and get on 95 North to get to Miami, mm-hmm. I mean to get to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So focus on that thing. Don't let those distractions in life take you off of your success path. We're mm-hmm. getting close to the end of our time. So, you know, definitely we want to have you come back. But tell us how folks can get in contact with you, your social media, websites, what have you. How can folks get in contact with you if they want to know more about building a brand? They want to be a published author. They want to understand about the publishing industry. They just need some support in this process. How can they get in contact with you?
Well, they can definitely contact me if you want to get in contact with Nostradam Media through our website, nostradammedia.com, as well as you can follow me on social media, A. Lanise Couture. Across all marketing, social media platforms. You can find me there. I can answer any questions that you have, give you advice and suggestions on what it is that you need to do. But the first thing that I'm going to tell anyone that comes in contact with Nostradam Media is that we are a solution ideas-driven company. We believe in creating a product and service that has an effect on the marketplace. We do have branding and coaching and
and
curating services within our company. But what we look for is we look for people who want to provide a product and service for the marketplace. Jason spoke to Apple and how Apple focused on one thing and how Bill Gates focused on one thing within the PC market. Neither have anything that is different from the other. But what made them both successful in their individual right was that they both created and have been able to sustain a market. And so we tell people that we're not here just to help you create a book so that you can pass it up to your family and friends and say that you have a book. I could totally do it. I could make money off of it, and I could send you back on your way. But I really want to help people understand their impact on their market. Now, it may not be globally. Your market just may be a local community or independent set within your realm. But we want to create conscious businesses and products and services that speak to the marketplace and can sell within the marketplace. So please, Aileen Couture, I'm on social media. You can reach me there, you can email, and we can take it from there.
Well, for folks like me that don't spell too well, you know, I have a background in marketing and PR, communications major. I'm going to spell it out for you. Nosadam Media, that's NOSIDAM. Media, MEDIA.com. That's Nosadam Media. Aileenice Couture, all social platforms. But if you want to get in contact with her at the company Nosadam Media, that's www.nosidammedia.com. And for us, as you know, we're the On the Vision Foundation. This is On the Vision Radio. If you want to get in contact with us, see what we're doing when we're coming to your city, that's www.ownthevision.com. Please engage with the Give 12 Project. You can go to give12today.com. That's G-I-V, the number 12, today.com. Donate your $12 in your city, $12 a month for the next 12 months, and we can see the change we want to see. Aileenice, we thank you so much for being a guest on our show. You've dropped some nuggets of knowledge tonight. We definitely will have you back because I know there's so many people that want to get into the publishing industry, want to effectively build their brand, and they need some help. So on this show, we want to expose people to that. If you want to follow me, it's Jason L. Warner on all the spaces, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, On the Vision everywhere, On the Vision, at On the Vision everywhere. But go visit us at www.onthevision.com. Go to give12today.com and see the change. We have to be the change. We want to see the change. Until next week, I've been Jason Warner. Thank you all so much for listening in. This is On the Vision Radio. Omari the Great, take us out. Peace, love, and blessings.
One nation under the Most High, from segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry for my melanated people. Put your hands in the sky. The black of the very sweetest of juice. What a concoction of greatness was grated out of this food. Created doctrines of hatred and still we fight to break loose. Physically hanging, now our mentality just out of noose. Black history books I read intrigued as I'm turning chapters. A QEP and my spirit animals, my Black Panthers. Ride for my people, go against us and you press my buttons. On the front line at 17 with choppers, Bobby Hutton. I tell my people stand up when people looking down to us. Downtown ATL protesting, those cops were surrounding us. I look around and slowly you appear to smile on my face. I'm just the omens for my people, cause I love my race. And we can't be replaced, never, cause we mean too much. Thoughts of freedom on them plantations like we dream too much. Appreciative of my black elders, man, they seem too much. My generation's next, give them something to believe through us. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. You can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance. Sometimes I feel like MLK in this. Society's biased, I'm not okay with this. We're patient, yeah. Hard to stand by us, they chillin', breaking us. They choose to give us people like our Oprahs and Harveys, but they refuse to give us our Angela Davis and Garvey. Royalties in our core, naturally we are pure. All praise to Dr. Sabie, I praise Asada Shakur. Biopics on our people, they displaying it now. Showing that greatness, black and proud, the shames of saying it loud. I'm about making sure our people are respected. From Carver and his peanuts to CJ Walker Cosmetics. Remember movements like the SCLC, even the Freedom Riders. Now I'm more feeling really with it, cause I'm a Freedom Rider. So bad to be a part of a culture and even heritage. His richest mind, though they try, they have no use neglecting it. Was taught I was a king, there's no need for me to be settling. Who would have thought the power I possessed was in this melanin? God. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is a song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Since you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Since you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Growing up, I was intrigued by my color, and I appreciated it. Would never hate on my brother. Pro-black, not anti-white, is what my pops always said. I had a balance between being MLK and being Detroit Red. Looked up so many who for my freedom had let bloodshed, and prayed I'd be the next black hope before going to bed. No Black History Month, because it doesn't need titles. Don't need a month to acknowledge William Du Bois as my idol. It hurts me to see us blind, hurts me to see us suffer from a system that's in place by throwing shade at each other. When Martin had a dream at Huey, had to pump cop. When Malcolm was in that window, that Turner let blood drop. When Sandra had made that video, when Philando was registered, St. Mill was in that rec center, hunting down like a predator. Obama got in office, got elected right back. These are moments that let me remember this power in black. Yeah. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Yeah. And definitely empowered, temporarily exiled, were my people. Long said to be outcasted and outlasted, nonetheless they are my people. Surely no sequel, brought into a situation saying we not equal. Treated like dogs, but we're whipped for barking. Finally we barked and barked until eventually that bark came with a bite, symbolized a spark. But no longer, now it's a light golden. Pledge allegiance to us. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Yeah.
I'm Charlene Pinkney.
And I'm Laverne Pinkney of the Pinkney Law Firm.
We're a local, family-owned, full-service law firm owned and operated by mother and daughter.
We have more than 38 years of combined legal experience.
Our firm handles many cases including divorce, child support, dependency, school discipline, and special education, serving Dade and Broward County.
We are known for our family-friendly service. Call us now at 954-362-5409. That's 954-362-5409. Or go to PinkneyLawFirm.com.